Is this the bullpen?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Y'all give the band a hand right quick. I wanted to just tell them after that last song to sing one more, and when we're at home with the band that I'm comfortable with, oftentimes that's what we'll do, is just sing one more. And I keep telling them, they never asked me to preach just one more, so I haven't figured that out yet. But Bo called a few weeks back, month or so. He called the office and said he was going to take a day off and ask if anybody would be up here to help. And my name is Todd Mitchell, and I guess y'all can tell, since y'all got an accent, I'm not from around here. I'm actually from Alabama. I'm not from Texas. I talk slower than most Texans do, so. But Bo called, and we are basically a brotherhood of churches. If you've read much about us, we're a brotherhood of cowboy churches that are pulling together to help churches start, help churches develop. Jason Taylor, who is the pastor at Bar None, serves on our board and helps direct and make decisions. So I just wanted to give you a brief history. There's a couple of hundred churches hooked up so far, most of which are in Texas, and then they scatter from Florida to Minnesota to out toward Arizona. So that's how I got here, and I need somebody to keep time. I wrote some notes because if I start chasing rabbits as slow as I talk, we could miss lunch. So if y'all will allow me to stick with my notes, I'll promise to get you out of here in the next little bit. But that's a little bit. My family travels with us. We homeschool. We, before Christ called me and my family into the ministry, we were traveling, working, and we had already made decisions. My father had a traveling job, and I only saw him when he came through town, and I wanted to raise my family different than that. So we actually do this together. We're currently living in a parking lot in Waxahachie, Texas. We've been living there for the past 3 months, and God is just blessing us living in that parking lot, so don't feel sorry for us. We like living in the parking lot, okay? We prayed. I don't know if y'all heard them barking dogs. Our dogs don't know how to come to a parking lot without barking, but we sat in the van this morning, and the two boys and my wife and I prayed as we were preparing to come into a strange place with a strange people, and my 9-year-old, who I'd have to say is probably closer to the Lord than I am, he put it pretty straightforward. He said, "Lord, do what you got to do." So that's what I want to say for the rest of the service. Lord, do what you got to do this morning. And we came to your town last night, and we rode around, just to get familiar with where we were, what the Lord called us up here. And we rode by the bank that's got that big statue of those two horses. You know the statue I'm talking about? Right. Well, it spoke to me. I don't know if it speaks to you or not, but I'm going to tell you what it spoke to me about. But first, I want to say, in the office, we've got a smaller, not near that large, a smaller statue that's on loan from somebody. It doesn't belong to us. We can't afford a statue. But we've looked at that statue for 2 or 3 years now, And finally, the other day, I thought, well, what is this statue? Have you ever noticed how you just pass by artwork and you don't really see what the artist is saying? Well, this statue has one horse that looks like it's bucking, and the other guy riding up as if he might be the pickup man. But when you get up there and see it, one of them's got his arm around the other, and it's called the Wounded. Some of y'all may have seen that statue. But that is what, back to the organization, Bo's not wounded. But we're up here to give Bo a break so he can get some fresh air and keep doing what the Lord's called y'all to do here. But that statue taught me at the office to start paying more attention. So when I rode by that one the other night, I said, whoa, gotta look. And y'all know what it says, binding contract, right? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, that statue is just a handshake across the fence, right? It's Mike, right? It's just like that. But now, I'm new to town, so you haven't built much trust with me yet. I'm wearing somebody else's trust. Bo's the one that brought me here. Mike's probably not going to want to sell me many cattle on credit today because he doesn't know me that well, right? So I want to talk about a handshake. What's a handshake built on? You betcha. It's based on trust. It relies on honor and integrity of both parties involved. You know, I was thinking about watching the old Western movies. Did you ever see where the two bank robbers that held something up tried to agree how they was going to split something? What was wrong with that whole concept? They were both thieves to start with, so how could they trust one another? Well, what is a binding contract? It's a firm offer that's made and accepted. And I want you to think about what God offers today. God's offered all of us a firm offer. So it's up to us to shake his hand and accept it. My brief living in Oklahoma, 9 years ago, we bought 2 trailer loads of horses from a lady. And when I got there to load the horses up, I realized she had a son that was in his early 20s that was having some troubles of his own. But he was the caretaker for those horses. So I offered him a job back in Alabama. I said, why don't you come? I figured out why y'all have church at 10:30. You got to do it between the train coming and going. I offered Darren, Darren's his name, offered Darren a job to move to Alabama. We shook hands. He talked to his wife. They came out there. They'd only been married about a year or so. Darren was playing with fire in the world, if you know what I mean. And the first day that Darren came to Alabama, he and I sat on the tailgate of my truck, and we talked about what we stood for, where he was now working. And I asked Darren if he had ever met Jesus Christ. He didn't grow up in a home that was churched. So we talked about living water and what it would mean for Christ to live in his heart and how all these struggles he had going on in his life that he could begin to overcome those struggles. And I know a little bit about people from Oklahoma because I'd been to horseshoeing school out here in the 80s with some of your people. And I know y'all are a people that don't really want a stranger coming in town pushing you around. So I'm not here this morning to push you around, and I didn't push Darren. What I told Darren is, I said, Darren, your first job here is going to be to fill up that watering trough every day. And I said, we use a little hose and it takes a long time. There's not much pressure. I said, so when you're down there at that watering hole, if you want to walk up here and slap these flies, you can. I don't care. I said, Darren, when you're down there at that watering hole and you're waiting, how about talking to the Lord and figure out what you're going to do with what he's offered you? That's all I said. And I left him there. And a couple days later, I came back, and guess what I found? A different Darren. Darren had gone down there by that watering trough and prayed to the good Lord to come into his life, to change it, and to set him free from all that garbage. That was 9 years ago. And the coolest thing about this trip is he's back South Oklahoma City now, and we stopped Friday night and visited. 9 years later, we visited he and his same wife and their two lovely children. He didn't have the children when he was there. So I want to encourage you this morning. Make a commitment to you, a handshake, that I'm not going to push you, but I'm going to talk about a couple of things right quick, and then we'll close, and I'll be brief. But I've noticed up here in Oklahoma, y'all call it ranch living, that a man's word has value, true or false. Well, God's word has value. And if today's the day that you decide to make a binding contract, maybe today's not the day, but I'll challenge you this. Every time you ride by that big old statue and read it, why don't you do a little bit of self-investigation and figure out how your binding contract with the Heavenly Father's working out. Here's what I know about our contract with the Lord. Jesus is the witness. Too many times, though, see, I was 30 years old when I made a binding contract with the Lord. Too many times I see folks ask the question, what happens when we drop our side of the deal? What happens when we fall short of the deal we made with the Lord? And that's what I want to talk about. I'll just point out two things right quick. I've struggled for 10 years with other gods. Horses used to be everything I was about. I lived it, breathed it, ate it, slept it, cleaned it up. And then I've got a few other sins that I struggle with and hang on to. But those were the things that got in my way, where I dropped my side of the deal. God knew that was going to happen. If you look in John, Jesus knew this was going to be a problem for us guys. But I'm going to show you what he offered us. In John 13, to prove that he knew we were going to have a struggle on our end of the deal. In John 13, at the tail end, we find where Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Y'all remember Peter was walking right there with Jesus, right beside him. In verse 37, Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And y'all know what it says. You can read into the next chapter or two and see where, in fact, when the pressure got on and they took Jesus to judge him and crucify him, we find where Peter dropped the ball. But I want to look at Peter's restoration in John chapter 21 right quick. In verse 15, it tells us, this is after Jesus has died, rose again, and he's beginning to reveal himself to the disciples. In verse 15, it says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God." Here's the part. "Then he said to him, 'Follow me.'" So what do we learn here from Peter? When we have made a binding contract with the Lord to live for him, and we slip and mess up and drop our end of the deal, right here, Jesus' last thing to Peter is, "Follow me." Too many times in life I fall and get dirty. But the Lord comes by and dusts me off and picks me back up and says, "Now come on, follow me." Really, this binding contract that the Lord offers is because of grace. And I'll finish with Romans 6. On over to the right. Romans 6 tells us about grace. It's because of God's grace that we can enter into that binding contract. In Romans 6, I'm going to start in 14. "For sin shall not be your master. For 30 years, sin was my master. because you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Darren, my young friend that moved to Alabama, down there by the water trough, got set free from his sin. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your normal selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increased wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. The binding contract that Jesus offers us is not a futures contract. Y'all know what futures contracts are, don't you? It's not a present contract, and it's not a contract dealing with the past. It's all inclusive. Whatever you've done, Jesus offers forgiveness. Whatever you're doing, Jesus offers you a way out. And wherever you're currently headed, Jesus offers you hope. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now, Lord, as the train blows through, Lord, we thank you for the train and, Lord, the transportation it provides, Lord. Lord, we lift up this community to you, Lord, as you set an example right out there on the main street of a binding contract. Lord, we know it's your grace that binds us to you, Lord. We know it's your mercy that allows us to live the life that you've called us to live. And Lord, I just pray that this Thousand Hills Ranch Church leads the way, Lord, in this part of the world to allow folks to understand the difference in living a life filled with grace or, Lord, being bound by the bondage of sin. Lord, as my son prayed, do what you got to do. Lord, speak to us at this hour. Send your Holy Spirit. Lord, those that are where I stayed, Lord, struggling with the past, Lord, I pray that you'll work a miracle in their life just like you did mine. And Lord, that you'll allow us to understand that through your grace, the past is gone. Lord, if there's one here today that's bound up with activities, Lord, maybe they're like I was and have other gods before you. Lord, may today be the day of revelation that you reveal that, Lord, and Lord, that they change and they turn from that and they begin to follow you. Lord, if there's one here that's like old Darren and just doesn't know where he's headed, Lord, let him find a watering trough that needs filled with a low pressure hose, and Lord, as he stands there and fills that water trough, Lord, show him what you have to offer. Lord, it's as simple as the example you gave us at the cross. Lord, one man turned to you and said, Lord, remember me. And Lord, we know that that man on his deathbed was able to trust you, and you told him that as of that day he would go to heaven. Lord, forgive us of our sins. In your Son's name, amen.